What are you trying to... Right, hey, bro, don't do that to yourself, man. Centenary.
Centenary?
Do you know what it means?
No.
What do you... think. What do you think?
100. So what have you... It's, have you won the Champions League in that 100?
Anniversary. Oh, allow it, actually, let me ask a question. When Arsenal win the Champions League, what are people gonna have?
You're welcome to the club, innit?
What are you gonna have?
You're gonna be welcomed into the club.
Dickhole knows that he's thinking because that's the end of it. What are you gonna have?
I mean, it's the same thing about Liverpool when everyone's won the Premier League.
And then look what happened.
And then we won the Premier League
in the COVID year.
Oh, it's all mad.
It's all mad.
Anyway, today's show is brought to you by OMRG Motors, the vehicle sourcing specialist. Save thousands on your next car purchase with competitive APR rates as low as 9.8%. OMRG Motors are unrivaled by most main dealers. I repeat, most main dealers cannot match their rates. OMRG Motors has a broad lending panel that covers prime to subprime lenders. All that means is that even if your credit is as poor as, they still might be able to help you. If your credit score is lower than your IQ, luckily there's not much to think about. Get in touch, they might still be able to help you. If you've had more CCJs than BJs, get in touch, they might still be able to help you. If you thought good credit was buying a £50 top-up on your pay-as-you-go, then you need to get in touch because OMRG Motors just might be able to get you approved for that motor you've always wanted. They're so confident in their rates that if you find a lower APR elsewhere, they'll match your savings and sort you £250 in cash. Use discount code ONELEAD to get £100 cash back on your next car purchase. Rate so low, it'll make you say OMFG. Socials are at OMRG Motors. Website is allthews.omrgmotors.co.uk. Now, let's start the show. Yeah, I know. Bro, I know. I don't even need a rating. I don't need a rating still.
Don't do this.
I'm going to start challenging myself. You know my challenge here? I'm going to learn this without reading it.
Yeah, I think you do. No. That was spectacular.
That was cold.
Okay. That's your best one.
That's my best one ever.
Yeah, that's your best one ever.
Hey, I'm inspired by this guy. I'm inspired. The energy.
Speaking of this guy, I want to welcome to the show, Chris Dixon.
Back.
AKA Dicko. One of the best strikers I've played.
Love. Just one, yeah?
One of the best strikers. All right, thanks for coming on, man. Excited to have you on, man.
Come on now. Love every time.
Yeah, I'm echoing that. And listen, it's one of the ones we've spoken about already. We don't have the most time, which is slightly annoying because I know there's a lot to get through. So I'm considering this could potentially be a part one with a view to being a part two. But we like to start this show most of the time with a segment we like to call Wikipedia. We ain't believing ya. And all that means is that there's a lot of information floating out there on Wikipedia about players. So we do our research, we have a look, and not all of it is factual, I have you know. So people can get on Wikipedia, they can write whatever they want, and not all of it is true. So we kind of cross-reference what's on there with our guests that come on. So I'll run through a few things. I don't know if you want this government name out there, but it's coming anyway. Christopher Alexander Kofi Dixon.
I mean, the game knows me as that, so okay. I'll go with that sincerity.
One of the many names, isn't it?
There's a few missing in there. My dad went kind of crazy still.
Yeah.
Ghanaian father, innit? So he just went ham.
A long list of names, yeah?
Yeah, there's a long list of names, but that's the one that they've given to the socials and that's the game.
Wait, what's your background?
I'm half Ghanaian, half Jamaican. So my dad's Ghanaian, my mom's Jamaican.
Oh, serious?
But my dad just overrode everything. Said, nah. He's getting all the names.
Original.
Okay, you got the Kofi in there. And obviously, everyone knows this Ghanaian is like 7 days of the week thing.
So I'm Friday born.
Friday born. But I'm a Friday born as well. So
I think I am as well, you know. I am. Don't do this. Don't do this.
Do you know what it was? It's just because it was a third of a... It's like, are you sure?
I swear on.
Friday born?
Yeah.
You said, I think I am.
I am.
Okay. Are you Friday born, yeah?
I'm Friday born, bro.
So hey, we're Friday born.
Do you know what's so mad? We're born on the same day.
Oh, yes. Imagine. Yeah, what do you mean?
We're born on the same day.
What, literally?
Yeah.
Like, as in, no, obviously, he's older.
I'm older, but yeah, same birthday.
December, yeah?
28th of December, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Right, bam. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, man. Real recognized rule, man. Come on, man.
What, joint birthday?
Come on, man.
Joint birthday. Okay. So, what we have here is... Well, they got your birthday, right? Which is good. And it actually says you're born in East Dulwich.
Nah.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
I was born in Dulwich.
Yeah.
But I think it was North Dallage.
Okay.
Listen, Dallage, it could be Dallage, East Dallage.
At least they got Dallage, right?
They got Dallage. Hey, he used to say something different. I was like, nah, I won't go there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, nice. And then what do we have? Obviously, he's got current team, Chatham Town FC.
Correct.
Okay, how's that season going at the minute?
Do you know what? It's going really well. Obviously, we've just secured playoffs.
Nice.
And listen, there's a good unity amongst the team. Obviously, we just want to make sure we finish second.
Yeah.
Obviously, Hornchurch did a madness this season.
Yeah.
Props to them. But now we just got to make sure we join them in that promotion.
Nice. Okay. Perfect.
We will, man.
Sounds good. You lot confident. I'm going to be there to watch the game, so I can't wait to see it. It says 5'11".
I mean, man's a 6 footer, yeah.
There you go. Man's a six footer.
When I got the Queens, I'm 5'11" and I'm so close to 6 foot. It's
you might as well be
6 foot. I'm
6 foot.
You know what I'm saying? Claim,
you need an afro, bro. You just got to do something.
Bro, I chopped it off.
Nah, I'm telling you, bro.
I was holding on to the ticket. I just chopped it off. You know what? I chopped it off. FA Trophy final.
Oh, okay.
Oh, serious? Hornchurch, yes.
Why? Well, that's when you said. That's
so it. I said to Ellis Brown, who was in the hotel for semi final, and I said, if we go through tomorrow against Notts County, I'm chopping off my hair.
Serious?
And I didn't know if we were definitely going to go through it.
I didn't believe it.
You had to back it.
Then obviously the winning penalty was on me.
Okay.
It was like, lining up and thinking, boy, put this away, hair's gone.
Yeah, my mind is thinking, you know what, I'm gonna have to scan this.
It was like keep the fro or go Wembley. Nah, we go Wembley. We go Wembley.
That makes me think as well, though. So, you know, some people just like things a certain way. So obviously you've got your hair. Have you got any like superstitions, like things that you need to do every time on the pitch? You know, some people hop, skip, jump before they get on the pitch, and
I always pray.
Oh, serious?
Always pray.
Love that.
I always pray, always cover myself and pray before every game. I always pray. Like, I'm kind of surprised the cameraman ain't caught that still. Because that's a good shot, you get me? But I always pray.
I have seen that, actually.
I always pray.
On the pitch?
And I always have linesmen always asking me, where's your shin pads? And I've got them in my hands because I put the shin pads down, cover myself, pray, and then I put my shin pads in.
Sick, okay.
That's always. That's my routine.
Sick. I want to get a bit more in depth for that prayer. Like, the kind of main things you ask for.
So it's always the same prayer, but my mom's a pastor.
Okay.
So obviously, yeah, I always tell people I didn't get where I got to without my mom and my mom's prayers.
The blessings, so amen.
Ultimately, it's like it's always the same prayer. It's just obviously guide me in, cover me for the game. I mean, it's a ritual for me. I don't really want to share that, you know what I'm saying. But it's always the same prayer.
Love it.
Same words and.
Sick, man.
Luckily, I'm still going.
Say amen. Amen. Oh, amen.
That's why you're still going, yo.
Hey, my mom in it. Trust me.
Yeah, that's why you're still going.
Praises to God. Love it. Okay, all right. So let's get into the career to date. So it says you started at Erith and Belvedere. There's a long list of teams on here, boy. Ooh, this could...
22, bro.
Yeah, is that the record? Could that take it? What are you saying? Have there been
more?
Yeah,
no.
22
that could
clubs.
I'm trying to think of anyone that's had a mad... Like Marv's had a lot. You remember
Marv's had a lot.
Yeah. Marv's had a lot. But his is like back forth. Yours is, I think.
Like fresh chapter.
Yeah, done. Chapter. Yeah. His one is like, okay, I'll bounce around, but I'm bouncing back and forth with these teams.
Because I went back to Erith twice and obviously didn't work out for whatever reason. But more time, I think that's the only club I've actually always gone back to apart from Hornchurch.
Okay.
So, but otherwise, yeah, 22 clubs, bro.
Okay. So,
that's
all right.
Mad.
Okay, so obviously, so grew up in Dulwich. Like, what school did you go to, actually?
So, I'm from Southeast, though, originally. So not Dulwich, Southeast. I'm from Woolwich, originally.
Okay, okay. So, you went to school around there?
I went to school in Shooters Hill.
Okay, first football team that you play for? Let's go Sunday League.
First football team I played for was a team called Pippin Hall. I was nine, playing under 11s.
Okay.
And I played Pippin Hall. I remember my mom just found it in the newspaper and said, I've got to get this boy getting active.
Yeah.
So I went and trialed at this team and they just took me straight away. And then my mom was doing all the runs, literally. Like, she was just taking me there all the time and then it got a bit tiresome. And then we found out there was a more closer club when I went to secondary school.
Okay.
And I signed for Teviot Rangers.
Teviot, I remember. Teviot. South London thing, yeah, I remember.
He's lost.
I just played for a team called Elms.
Okay, yeah.
Cool.
What, you played,
yeah? Oh, come on. Hey, my career is not one I like to talk about because it's not as decorated as some. But hey, I played.
So you're playing, what's your team called? Pippin?
Pippin Hall, then Teviot Rangers.
Teviot Rangers. Mm-hmm. They were in our league too.
Teviot Rangers. Listen, a lot. So in South, Teviot Rangers, Junior Robbins, I'd say Samuel Montague.
Wait, where'd you play? Marathon?
Nah.
You know the marathon ground near Charlton? Where was your home ground?
Our home ground, Teviot's.
Yeah.
Teviot's was in Swingate Lane.
Okay.
Swingate Lane in Plumstead. Teviot's home ground was there. But Simon Montague was obviously Shooters Hill.
Shooters Hill, yeah.
And that's where Kieran Richardson started.
Yeah.
He was cold.
Yeah, I think that's marathon ground.
Is that what marathon
ground? Yeah, they call it marathon. Okay. Hey, shout out Teviot Rangers. Shout out all them teams that are doing so much for the local youth, man. Yeah, okay.
For the ghetto, man. For the South, you know.
Nah, you couldn't last in South London. You couldn't make it. So everything Belvedere, how did it get there then?
So I started at Erith through, Erith and Belvedere were a team called Greenmead before. And one of my good friends to this day, Lee Sugden, was at Greenmead, and he literally said, "Chris, come and join us at Greenmead." And I was like, "We're going to become the Erith Belvedere youth team." So Wayne Baldacchino was the manager at the time, and Wayne Baldacchino said, "Come on board." Like, I said, "Oh, he's on a striker, cool." And literally, I just went through the system at Erith Belvedere. It's mad that I even remember all these names. Crazy, but went through the system, and I amongst maybe four other players in the youth team, we smashed the youth team level and then got into the first team.
Okay. What level were they playing at? What league?
Some Kent league, Sam.
Wait, can I ask you something? Was you always a striker for your whole career?
I started off left wing.
Okay.
So I started off left wing.
Right foot.
Wow. Cutting thing, innit?
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So even when they're doing the cutting thing with the Robin.
Early. Like, Robin, before Robin.
Way back, bro. Way back.
I'm saying Robin could be doing
it. You unlocked it before him, innit?
All I'm saying is that man was left wing and was doing a madness on the left wing. So I'm saying, because everyone, when you're quick, just make you a winger.
Yeah.
And because I've never been a man that's like back to goal. That's what I'm saying. I hate it. I want to go in behind. I'm quick.
But I don't think you give yourself enough credit for your back to goal play.
It could be better, and when I was at Charlton, they literally taught me how to play with my back to goal lot more. But I always want to just play on the shoulder, getting behind, because once I'm in behind, I'm on the other side. You're not catching me. So when I was at Dulwich, even Wayne Burnett used to make me do specific runs to improve my game and to get in behind. Because I used to do one specific run all the time. And it was like, nah, it's going to get red.
Okay.
But in my mind, I'm thinking, nah. Like, if I get in, I'm in. But it taught me so many different other runs, and then my movement, and obviously coming to the ball to go in behind, all them kind of things. And then when I went to Charlton taught me about the hold-up play more so and bringing other people into play. Wayne did that knowledge as well, but he knew my strengths. My strengths was my speed. And obviously it was a case of just getting in behind.
Okay.
Just to even quote you on that, I have a close friend, yeah? And I think I told you this before. I've got a close friend, captain of a team. I won't name the team because they're going through a hard time right now. But he said, I asked him a while ago, like, who's the hardest striker you've played against? And this is before I even knew you, by the way.
Yeah.
So this is, maybe I've asked him like October times or whatever. And he said, yeah, Chris Dixon. I said, what was it that made it hard for you? He said, bro, he would just make me go into, he'll just be so smart of his movement. He said, like, he'll just take me into areas where I don't want to be. I don't want to get him. But then, like, if I don't pick him up, he's just going to get the ball and turn and run at me. Or, like, if I do get too close, he'll roll me. He's like, I found it so hard. It was like chess.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you now, I spoke to him about it recently and I said, I get it. Like, when I after playing with you, I said, I get it.
It's like, when you get older as well, you learn a lot more about the game, but you learn about position sense as well. And ultimately, centre-backs, they're not necessarily the quickest. Mm. So they don't want to be pulled out wide. So look, remember Thierry Henry?
Yeah.
Hog on the left side, because he knows if I'm out over here and that centre back comes over here, he don't want to be here.
Yeah, it's finished.
It's long for him. And I guess when I was obviously younger and I was playing left wing as well, that kind of helped because I naturally knew how to play on that side anyway.
Yeah.
So but it was about learning how to make all sorts of different runs and being intelligent, standing offside and then getting onside when you can see the ball coming in and then going.
Yeah,
Henry, I'll be honest with you, Henry was definitely somebody that I picked up a lot and a lot of people, and Ian Wright, R9, them three there.
So why don't you support Arsenal anyway, but you support Liverpool, okay.
Come on now, John Barnes,
top player. But what are you saying? So you say Omri was like your top
well, if you're playing left wing and then you go from up front, I suppose that's an ideal sort of.
It makes sense. I would say
for me, my idol as a striker was Ian Wright, 100%. Okay. Ian Wright, like everyone at Dulwich, when I was at Dulwich, used to say, like, this kid reminds me of Ian Wright.
Oh, seriously?
Because obviously, Wright was at Dulwich as well. So it's I get it all the time. I used to get it all the time. But obviously, further on in my career, you pick up traits from all sorts of different people. Even Matt Letizia. I used to love Matt Letizia. I used to love Matt Letizia. When he used to flick the ball in people's heads.
And I
call that the dicko flick, innit?
I've seen that.
Oh, serious? You're still doing that,
Anyone can get the dicko flick, trust me.
Pause.
The dicko flick. The dicko flick.
Yeah. Why? Just in case anyone heard it wrong.
But literally, it was just a case of just picking up from different players and watching games, watching football and picking up from different players and then incorporating into your game.
Yeah, I hear that. So everything Belvedere, and from there you moved on to Dulwich Hamlet, and you've mentioned that already. And Wayne Burnett was your coach at Dulwich Hamlet.
Wayne Burnett was my coach at Dulwich Hamlet. Wayne Burnett's like my father figure in football.
Okay. Still talk to him. Still
talk to him to this day.
Okay.
And obviously get advice from him to this day.
Sick.
I always say to people, I owe a lot to him.
Yeah.
Because I find like in training sessions, with Wayne, he would almost sometimes base the session around me.
Sick.
Okay. And base the session because he knew obviously I'm the goal scorer and I'm the one's gonna win the games. But he would tell like the right back, this is how I want you to pass the ball. And as a coach now, I take so much from what he did at that time because he's obviously played the game at high level as well. And he would actually show his right back, this is how I want you to pass the ball. And he'd do it. Make that run into there. So it would be like maybe 15, 20 minutes of the training session where he's telling people how he wants to pass the ball. And this is where Dicko's going to run. This is how I want it. And I felt like that infused me. And at least then I knew that on the weekend, once my right back gets the ball, my right center half gets the ball, that's the run I got to make. Mm. That's what, because he's told me.
How often did that come off for you though?
Ample times.
As a team, that must have been amazing.
I mean, and then obviously once he'd encouraged me and taught me how to make other runs, it was right back, left back, right back, left back. So as soon as I see one of them on the ball, I know I'm making that run. And I just get in all the time.
That's sick, though.
Just getting all the time.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. And how did your time at Dulwich go then?
Dulwich was a whirlwind because initially things didn't work out here from Belvedere. And I went on loan to Dulwich. And I went on loan to Dulwich and I scored 6-6 at the back end of the season.
Okay.
And then I was looking to go. I had an agent at the time that was trying to get me pro.
How old are you at this time?
I was 20 at the time. 20? Okay. Yeah, 20 at the time. So, and then the following season, Wayne was like, just look, come back. This will work. And I was like, oh, I'm trying to see if I can get this pro. Then my agent, this agent saying I can get a pro. It's never going to happen, innit? So, I ended up going back to Dulwich and did a madness. Like, I scored 30 goals before the year.
Wow.
Wait, 30 goals before what? No, man, I didn't hear that correctly.
Wow.
I scored 30 goals before New Year.
Before New Year?
Yeah. It was a wrap.
So, wait, what's happening? Like, I need to know what's happening when you're, like, the New Year's ending. Like, what's happening?
So, I got injured in January.
Okay.
I did my metatarsal at the time. And literally, there was club sniffing. I was hit. Wayne used to say to me all the time, "Dicko, you never know who's watching." It's mad because I now say that to kids that I coach.
Yeah.
Listen, play every game like it's your last game because you never know who's watching.
Yeah.
And literally, I got injured and I came back. I think I got another one. Yeah. And then by March, I'm Charlton knocking on the door.
Sick.
Wow,
and at Charlton, what year is this?
This is 2007. Charlton in the Premier League.
So this is like Charlton. Is this Charlton with Kevin Lisby?
Darren Bent, Andy Reid, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Is Dennis Ramadan there, man? Still there.
Ramadan's there.
Oh, yeah, I love that guy. I don't know why.
Alex Song.
Oh, did you model a lot of your game?
He was a speed man.
He was one of the last dying wingers.
Ramadan was See, Ramadan was a madness. But you know what? Not only was he quick, he was fit.
I'll swear that.
Extremely
fit. He looks like that, though.
The name sounds rapid, isn't it? Ramadan.
Like, even just, you want to say the name fast. Like Ramadan.
Literally, everyone's saying, like, so when I came, obviously, that season, we got relegated. Yeah. But everyone said, if anyone's coming back, do not do preseason with Dennis. Because what he does is he goes. And he's so fit, people try to keep up with him.
Yeah.
But he'll get so far ahead because he's so quick. And then he just coasts. And you can't catch him. So he's busting all kinds of records. Wow. All kinds of records he's just getting.
He was a madness. Was he like technically good though?
In training, from what I could see, I'm trying to think who he'd remind me of. So I'm saying, because he was a man that used to just always want to go on the outside. Always want to go on the outside and knew he was gonna get there. Speed, but technically, you play in the Premier League. You're technically you are
technically good.
Technically, you've got to have something about you. So I'm saying, and he was very good. Alex Song was there as well. Zheng Ziyi, bro.
Alex Song was there.
So he was on loan to us, isn't it?
That was mad.
So he was so buff, innit? He just played the game at his own pace. Like, is that a true reflection of what he was like?
Or? I mean, he was a laid back character, yeah. Very laid back character. But he had an intensity about his game. Okay. He had intensity about his game.
What was the best thing about his game? What would you say? Like, what was he like? A tech? You know how we have certain players and we're like, he's a tech man. What was his like?
He was a tech man, but. He was aggressive as well with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's breaking up play and then he's just playing it simple. And then he'll chop, man, and then he just play it simple.
Yeah.
He just kept everything nice and short. And I think his game developed as the older he got.
Yeah.
Suddenly he started playing more advanced and playing through balls.
Also, he's driving with it as well.
Right.
Times. Yeah.
So
yeah.
So his game developed a lot. Because remember, he was still young at Charlton.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and obviously, he got on loan from Arsenal. So, but he was a funny guy. So funny.
Oh, serious?
Yeah.
How funny would you be like?
Just that the clothes he wears. You know what it is? A lot of the French, French descendants, man, were funny. So I'm saying, or should I say African descent? But
the fashion sense, yeah.
Fashion sense is mad. He just used to. And he's a living Dolce & Gabbana. This brother, I remember one time I see him in West on time and I see him come out with a bag in Dolce. I said, he's like, hey, you see me next week? I said, Soggy, you are so funny, bro. And he used to come with just wild clothes, bro. Soggy was good, man.
And what, were they keeping up with like the cars and that in the car park?
When I tell you, like, so our car park in Prem days was a madness. Like, I'm seeing, man, them used to come into the car park with a different car every day.
Yeah.
And not we're not talking about normal ordinary cars, we're talking big boy cars. I'm saying like I think Escalades, Bentleys, Ferrari, Lambo, whatever. So I'm saying man are coming in every day with a different whip.
Who's the main man over there them times? Who was like you knew was the highest pay? Who was the main man, the striker?
Darren Bent coming. The thing is, Darren Bent was the main man, but because you could just see he's the main man.
Yeah,
but with like Garms and stuff, Jerome Thomas.
Oh, I remember Thomas.
What a player, by the way. Yeah, no,
don't chat to Jerome when it comes to clothes, yeah? And style.
Yeah.
That brother there.
Can I be honest?
Different.
Player, but I do think he maybe didn't reach the heights that he should have.
He didn't. But there's one thing I kind of modeled my game on him a bit when I was growing up. See, I thought he was a player.
See, Jerome, yeah?
Left wing, innit?
Jerome used to take a mick in training.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Like, Jerome was a madness.
Real ability, innit? Like, I can imagine.
Real, like, do you want to talk about tech, man?
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know what he's going to do.
But you can't stop it.
You can't stop it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jerome will just come inside and just rap bottom bins. All the time, come inside and rap bottom bins. Yeah. And it's like, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
And it was almost a case of, when he wants to do it, he's going to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you can't do nothing about it.
Yeah.
So talk to me. Where do you fit in this? So obviously we've spoken about the money being made, the cars, the lavishness, these top ballers. You've been scouted at the age of 20?
20. At the time I was 22 now.
22, which is late. Let's be honest. So, yeah. And you know that a lot of people talk about this fact that this idea that when people come from non-league or they haven't been in academy all along, they've maybe got a bit of an edge on the players that have been there because maybe some of the players that have been there for such a long time have been spoilt and that. So you're coming into this professional environment off the back of Dulwich at the age of 22, kind of late. What's going through your head? What are you thinking? How's it looking to you?
For me, it was a case of just being myself. being myself and being the loud, vibrant character that I am, because otherwise I'll get swallowed up here.
Who's giving you that advice? If anyone.
I don't think anyone was giving me that advice. I was just me.
Okay.
I was just me. So from non-league, I was loud, I was vibrant. You'd hear me in the tunnel before the game. I'm jumping up and down, I'm making noise, I'm in the changing room. You know me in the changing room. I'm just trying to get everyone's energy up, so I'm saying, and I'm trying to boost myself as well. So I'm in the tunnel, and as I grew older, I recognized that actually that was the psychological edge that I needed against opponents. Mm. So I'm in the tunnel, I'm saying, yo, hey, yep, two goals today. Watch. Yep, yeah. Here we go. Yep, it's game time. What goals? Come on now. And defenders are thinking, I'm going to nail him. I don't care. So they're just thinking about that. They're not thinking about my movement. They're not thinking about anything else. They're just thinking, do you know what? I've got to nail him. And I'm not. Whereas I'm thinking, I'm just ready to have a good time. So I was having fun with it.
Yeah.
So I took that energy into Charlton. And with that energy, it made sure that I wasn't overwhelmed by the situation. Because I'm going into a room with players that I've only seen on television. Yeah. To be honest with you. Players that are household names. Yeah. So, and there was people challenging me, people that challenged my confidence and
players and in the club at Charlton.
At Charlton and tested it.
Name and shame.
Nah, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, 100%.
Talk to me.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank tested me. And I love that he tested me because he just wanted to see whether I had something about me.
How did he test you?
It might be something as small as you're sitting in my seat.
Okay.
At lunch. I don't know. Listen, at lunch. At lunch, it's anybody's seat. What is that? Nico. And I'm like, all right, cool, Jimmy, innit? I respect what I'm saying. But then let it be known in training, when we're finishing, I'm going to let you know what time it is. I'm saying, so I'll be like, so if I score the winning goal, yo, well, yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. Goals.com. But it was just like, it's a challenge. And I could see that he was just trying to test me, like I said, to see how strong my character was. Because a lot of people can fold under that kind of pressure in that environment. And I'm not a person that I've worked so hard on who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm naturally confident to go into an environment and be overwhelmed by anybody. And it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter who you are. So I'm saying we're all human beings. And at the end of the day, we're now on the same level. I'm not coming in here as a YT. I'm here with you, man. And we're all trying to get to the same goal.
Yeah.
So... And more than anything, especially with Jimmy, it was how much can I absorb from him and learn?
That's what my next question was.
And learn from
him. How good was he though? Like in training, like what was that? Would you like, this is mad?
So the Jimmy that I obviously trained with and the Jimmy that I watch on TV are two different people. As a player, when he was at his prime, he was a madness, he was a beast.
Yeah.
By the time he got to Charlton, obviously he's coming to the back end of his career, but his finishing is the best finishing I've ever seen any footballer.
Really?
Period. Bar none.
Really?
When I tell you, we used to do. So you know, like what the killer thing we do in training, where you're in the D.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's two touch.
Yeah.
And you got to control it and bang. So all the strikers would go at the end. I think Lisby, Marcus Bent, Darren Bent, me, Jimmy at the time.
Is Walks there?
Walks was there as well. But I think I remember the five in particular was us five. And I just remember
those are big names,
Marcus Bent and Jimmy Fred had some just beefing here because they're like, they tell the goalkeeper, oh, you're going to save that. Or the touch is going to have the D.
Oh, okay.
Bro, but Jimmy is finding stanch every time. Bottom stanch. See that little triangle?
Hits and comes out.
With power, bro. Placement, with power. He's finishing a joke. The only person that was close to Jimmy in finishing in Charlton at the time was Darren Bent.
Okay, but not power. But
he's got finesse.
He's got finesse.
Yeah, Darren,
yeah.
You can see. He's got
finesse.
Speaking of Darren,
oh, I don't say. I don't really like him.
Oh my
god! I don't like Darren. No, you know, I got it a lot in my 20s.
I see it.
I don't like Darren.
I see it a little bit still. You kind of resemble Benny, just a little bit.
Let's not do this, man. I'm much more handsome. Come on, let's see.
He said don't do this.
Do you know what it is? I haven't heard it in such a long time. let's not go back there. I like my individualism.
Hasselbank.
Best finisher.
So you named. I'm thinking
that's a top striker.
The amount of strikers you named, I'm thinking what club usually has got that many top strikers? So Marcus Bent, Darren Bent,
hey, do you know what's
Hasselbank,
Lisby,
and what, all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And think about this. What are they?
As in, what do you mean?
They're all black, bro.
They're all black as well.
They're all black.
Yeah.
No. Shout out to Charlton, man. Shout out to Charlton.
South London, that. Like,
yeah.
Bro.
Hey, that's nuts.
Yeah.
But because when we got relegated, them man ducked that quickly.
Yeah, they want to know. Think about it. Those are recognizable names.
Those are top strikers.
You've all heard their names.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess my question would be, where did you see yourself fitting into that roster?
So the blessing and the curse was that I signed in March outside the transfer window. So I couldn't play in the Prem.
Okay.
So I played in the Prem reserves as such. So I was allowed, the Prem said, look, I'm not going to register me, but I can play in the reserves. So in the reserves, I'm finding myself in playing with players who are trying to get into the first team, into the first 11 or squad, whatever. And I'm looking around and I'm saying, like, even my trial game was littered with bad boy ballers. Like, I couldn't fail. Yeah. But I always say in any interview I've ever had, I said, Kevin Lisby made my trial game the easiest possible trial game that could have been. Because he did the dirty stuff. He did the job. He did the coming in as number 10. Naturally, he played in the shoulder.
Yeah.
But then he did the job where he adapted his game.
Yeah.
He adapted his
like,
game.
What, he just said for you, like, you're just doing that.
Just run. He said, your game. He said, well, how do you play? I said, I play on the shoulder. He said, okay, cool. You go. And literally, he just used to come in the pocket. He was coming in the pocket. I think he set up both my goals as well. Bro, it was a dream.
Big him up.
Hey, shout out Kevin. Shout out Kevin.
And it's mad because now we obviously, like I said, we play in vets, Charlton Vets games.
Oh, you're still playing, yeah?
Yeah, so he plays in Charlton Vets games and it's the same thing. Dicko, you run. I'm going to go in the pocket. It's the same. But now it's a case of he can't run. You get me? So it's like, he's just in that pocket. But
yeah.
Same.
Hey, you're a cheek holding that though.
He's a cheat code, bro.
What are you saying? What, he's still playing?
There's a few
vets man that are hollering, man, still for next year.
You're a cheat code, bro.
I was trying to tell him, man, I'm no flavor free, guys. Liz was different. Liz was different for me in that game in particular.
Just made your trial game.
Just made it.
Nah, big him up, man.
It was unbelievable.
And who was the coach? Kirby at that time?
Pardew.
Okay.
So Pardew.
What's he like? I get mixed reviews from him, you know.
What, the Silver Fox?
I just get mixed. I heard he's quite funny, though.
He's actually very funny.
He's very funny and he's brutal.
Okay. He's very brutal. So, and I learned that the hard way.
Okay.
Like, he's honest. He's honest.
What happened?
I went on loan to Crewe, my first loan, and it was a shambles. He told me, I've got three clubs that I've been going loan to. Crewe, Gillingham, Millwall. And I said, I want to go Crewe. I just wanted to get out of London.
Okay.
And I just wanted to get away. Cool. Let me go and see what's going on outside. And after 3 weeks, Crewe sent me back.
Three weeks?
They sent you back?
I was
back.
On a month loan. 3 weeks sent me back.
How many appearances in 3 weeks?
Three.
Three
appearances and said, And literally, it was clear that I was obviously outside. I was seeing what was outside London.
And
I was in the Crewe and I was just like in a hotel and I was just like, I mean, I'm in Liverpool and I'm in Leeds and I'm in Manchester. I was just doing up in Germany.
A holiday in the season.
So when I came back, he was like, that was a failure. That was terrible. You're misrepresenting me. You're misrepresenting yourself. You're misrepresenting the club. And ultimately, like, I can't stand for that. Okay. And I know you're better than that. And Pardew's always said, like, Chris Dixon's one. I think he quoted as saying, Chris Dixon's one of the best strikers you'll never hear of. And I was like, I'm gonna make sure people hear of you. So
wait, at what stage did he say that?
When he signed me.
Seriously?
When he signed me.
That's sick. Okay.
So when he signed me, in the Resi games, for instance, I scored every game.
Okay.
I was playing a lot of youth team players as well, but I had a good strike partner all the time.
Look at the strikers you had, none of them are playing at the same time, bro.
So I had Hasselbank one point. Then I think I've obviously had Liz in my other game as well. I had Zeng Zi sometimes. Zeng Zi was a madness on the 10. Yeah. So I always had someone behind me that was obviously a good supplier and someone I could learn off and feed off. So when I came back to Charlton, he said, well, you've got two clubs now. Millwall.
Okay, yeah.
He said, if I send you to Millwall and you do what you did at Crewe, you won't make it back here.
Yeah.
You won't survive.
So he said Gillingham.
Because he told me straight, because you're a young black man, and yeah. ultimately, like,
did he say those words? Tommy. Yeah, I love that.
I've got so much time for that.
You're a young black man, and they will swallow you up down
there. Yeah,
yeah. So I was like, cool. So I was like, cool.
That's a big why.
I'm learning the lingo now. So I'm saying, these young bucks are teaching me some stuff. You can't lie. So,
you get caught a few times.
I've been caught a few times. I was like, okay, that's a why. That's a why. What's a why? Oh snap, yeah, sugar, that was a wild still. But yeah, so so he said, I'm saying Jillian. I said, all right, cool. And now I've been challenged.
Who's your manager at Jules this time? Yes.
So no, the manager at Jules was the interim manager, Ifeanora.
Okay.
And Ifeanora, it's not like he didn't like me, but I came with the same brazen.
You come yourself.
I'm walking in there like, yeah, I'm the, yep, let's go.
Yeah.
And he shut that down straight away. He was like, nah, this guy's going to have to earn his way into the team. I don't care if you come from Charlton or not.
Okay.
And I remember the first three games, they put me on the bench and just left me like, come on now and again. I'll never forget Nottingham Forest away. I came on and we were like 4-0 down already. And Junior Gogo, rest in peace, must have scored a hat trick. And I'm looking at Junior thinking, rah, like, he's a Ghanaian striker as well. I want to aspire to be like. I'm saying I want to get into that national team.
Mm.
And I was thinking, why am I not playing? Like, I want to. So the next week we had a Johnson's Paint Trophy game against Luton, and he just put in like the boys that have not really featured in the team. So I'm saying threw me in and I scored a hat trick. And then suddenly it's like I remember going onto the Gillingham forums, innit? Because I used to check them things, innit?
Yeah.
We've had this guy on our team for the last 3 weeks and we haven't been playing him. We're getting smoked every week. What's going on here? So I'm saying, like, and then literally from that moment on, I think we played Millwall the next week.
Okay.
Scored again. And then Mark Stimpson came in.
Okay.
Yes.
And then suddenly
that's when everything changed,
isn't it? The team changed now. Because Stimmo is a non-league legend
yeah.
of a manager and he's now got his chance to do something in the league. And he brought in a bag of non-league, man. A bag. When I say a bag of non-league, man. And literally, he just wanted grafters, he wanted ballers. Like, he wanted to give people opportunity. And he looked at me like, I'm a non-league, man. Yeah. Even though I come from Charlton, he's like, you're a non-league, man.
Not proven yet.
Yeah. So I was like, go on, fly. And literally, I just grafted for that guy.
He's got that, innit? He's got that, he wins you over and you want to work for him, innit?
100%. Mm. 100%. 100%. And literally, I can't remember too many games I didn't score in. He always says to me, we'll never forget Crewe away. Because we couldn't win away from home for love nor money. And then we went to Crewe and obviously
you had a point to prove, bro. You had a point to prove.
I turned up, bro.
You had to.
I remember looking at Steve Holland. Imagine Steve Holland, the England assistant manager. He was a Crewe manager. I remember thinking, listen, this game here, I've got to let a man know you can never send me away after 3 weeks. Yeah, you lost your mind, man.
Yeah, no.
And I've probably scored the second best goal I've ever scored in my career.
Talk us through it.
So I think we were 2-1 down and then we won a penalty. I won the penalty and from a corner, slotted the penalty and then literally we've got a throw on the right-hand side and someone just thrown it down the line, but my first touch has taken it at an angle, and I'm on a pretty much on the court. I mean, I think I'm in the box, so I'm just outside the box, but like a Van Basten thing, I just banged it into the far corner.
Yeah, did you run off celebrating on that?
Bro,
mad thing.
I just ran to our fans. I wanted to run to Steve Holland, like, I said, no, I got to give it to the fans because the fans at Gillingham are unbelievable.
But I mentioned
we're everywhere with us. Everywhere with us. And it's like, D-I-C-K-O and all this business. I love the fans at Jules to this day. And literally, I just ran straight to the fans and we just like, we're celebrating. And we obviously got our first away win and we're just buzzing. So I'm saying, and it was good times.
I remember Marv spoke about a game where he was at Jules and you scored and then Walks has scored. And you're both alone from Charlton.
Bro, oh my God.
So like, you two are like battling for the place to come back at Charlton.
Yovel. And it was on Sky as well. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
The way I was itching to score on Sky, I was like, I know this on TV. on Sky TV. And I scored the deadest goal as well. But Walk scored a banger. And I say, he got the winner. Yeah.
Okay.
He got the winner. They won. So Lloyd Owusu scored that game as well. Big up Lloyd.
Yeah.
And Lloyd, I remember going all the way to Yeovil. I'm thinking, oh, Yeovil, this place is far.
But is Smithy playing these times as well?
Nah, I don't think he was.
Okay, okay.
I don't think he was. But literally, I just remember being on Sky. And I'm thinking, I know this on TV.
Yeah.
It's one of the early kickoffs as well. So I'm thinking, it's like 12:30, saying people are gonna watch it. So I'm saying, I've got a nudge. And then I remember Lloyd Lewis scored first. Then I've equalized on a little down at header, and then Walk scored a banger.
And then you felt both coming back to Charlton.
We literally both swapped each other's shirts that day, and literally was like, well, I'll see you back at Charlton, innit? Because we knew at some point we're both gonna come back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we were just both doing so well. And then I got the call back.
Okay.
After three months, yeah.
So what was this, end of the season or what?
Nah, midway.
How are you feeling when you're getting the call back though? You're thinking, bro, this is the start. Like,
I'm thinking, rah, they're calling me back because it's about to be on. Like, yeah. Okay, cool. Like, obviously, I think I've done like 11 goals in 14 games. So okay. I'm coming back.
I'm done a default thing.
So help me out. Are you also like following Charlton closely? Like, what's going on?
You're always keeping an eye on it, but you're not like, if you're not there, you're not in the building. Like, I still you talk to your teammates and obviously find out, like, look at the results and stuff, yeah, and find out what happened. And
you chat to a man, like, what happened today?
But
I'm trying to understand, is it like, are you monitoring the other strikers and seeing what they're doing?
Not really, you know. More time, you'd get calls from them saying, yo, you scored again, bro. Okay. You're on fire. Like, what? Go on.
But
like,
that's the beauty of football, though.
They're checking in on you. So I'm saying, right, they got another one. Like, yeah. That was what I enjoyed the most about that period of time as well.
Yeah.
Was that my boys at Charlton are looking out for me. So the Jeromes, Lloyd, Osei Sankofa.
Shout out to Osei Sankofa, me and Talker.
So I'm saying, so we're all checking each other to make sure that everyone's still cool. And it was we had little family down there. So I'm saying,
bro, that must be. And you're from South, you're playing for that, bro, that's massive.
Miles Weston as well. Like, we're all there,
bro. Westy was at Charlton, bro. Westy was in my trial game.
Westy scored. I set up Westy in the trial game.
So wait, where's Westy playing? Left wing, right wing?
Left wing.
Like what? Just down left the line. Left wing. Cross.
But again, I think he went on loan. I think he was on loan as well because we were younger, innit?
Yeah.
Nathan Ashton, Westy, Josh Wright, who else? Harry Arter. So it was a lot of boys.
Harry Arter
was my go-to guy in Charlton, in reserves. I needed Harry to play.
Wow. Apparently, and he had a lot of injury problems. I know footballers don't shy away from them. Apparently, like, I think it's on Wikipedia, like, he doesn't shy away from getting the ball. He always wants the ball.
Oh, he's 2 foot. He was the first one I noticed about the 2-footing team.
Oh, like actually 2-footed, yeah.
Yeah.
Both ways, both feet.
Both corners, both sides. I was like, right. Other than, I'd say Kenny Beeney.
Oh, Kenny Beeney.
Kenny Beeney from Dulwich.
Kenny Beeney was at
Dulwich and me, but in pro. Harry Arter, I was like, whoa. And he was the next big thing to come through, but just didn't kick on.
It's mad.
Injuries and stuff like that. And then obviously, his story is unbelievable because obviously he went down to Woking, came back up.
Bournemouth promoted, Premier League, I remember.
Unbelievable. But yeah, Harry Arter, I knew when Harry played in the Resi game, I'm going to score.
You're getting chances. Yeah, 100%. Okay, all right. Wikipedia, we ain't believing y'all. Gillingham. Mm-hmm. So Gillingham, Bristol Rovers, Gillingham, Long.
Yeah.
And then Nia Salamis.
Cyprus came knocking.
Do you know, I'm so frustrated that we need to rush this. I'm looking at all these clubs and I'm just seeing stories.
Yeah,
it's poor. We need some more time.
We ain't even got to this yet, have we? Yeah.
But Nia Salamis. Talk me, where's that? What happened there? What's going on?
So basically my agent at the time, which was Safe Ruby, said there's a possibility that you could meet Cyprus. And funnily enough, because I was on loan at Bristol Rovers, Lenny Lawrence was the person that contacted Safe and said, look, I've got a connection to Cyprus, teams in Cyprus, and have you got a striker?
Yeah.
And Safe turned around and said, like, Dicko. So he asked me about it. And at the time, I didn't really have much options. My contract at Charlton was up, and obviously I didn't have much options. I think Shrewsbury Town called me when I was on the plane. Mark Robbins called me when I was on the plane to go to Cyprus to obviously get my trial. And I said, I'll shout you when I come back.
What league was Shrewsbury in that time?
I think League One, maybe.
Okay, so I think it's important for us to establish as well what was happening at Charlton for Nia Salamis, for you guys in Cyprus to be an option.
I was coming to the end of my contract.
Okay.
So obviously, my time at Charlton I'd suffered an injury. I come back. I'd done okay. I'd got international caps as well. So it was a case of I just come to the end with Charlton and got relegated again and to League One. And I was like, yes, it might be time. And ultimately they made the decision anyway.
Yeah.
I was getting frustrated at the time because I wanted to leave during the season and go on loan against Gillingham, which I ended up doing anyway. But Charlton wanted to sell me, and I was like, look, I'm not going to play here. You're not giving me opportunity.
And I just want to play.
And a lot of Charlton fans say the same thing, saying your time at Charlton didn't work out because you didn't get an opportunity.
Yeah.
I think I scored 2 goals at Charlton, both in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, I was able to do it against higher level opposition in the FA Cup, so why didn't I get an opportunity? But it is what it is.
Yeah.
And so when my contract ended at Charlton, I ended up going to Cyprus, and near Salamina was the next step in the journey, and it was interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
Talk to me about interesting, man.
What made it interesting?
Obviously, for me, it was a case of new surroundings, new country. I'd never been to Cyprus before in my life. Mm. Everyone was telling me about Ayia Napa, this place Ayia Napa, and I'm like, where's Ayia Napa?
We talked about it.
Okay. So everyone's talking, like, all the older boys, like John Fortune, and I'm not saying, like, they call you, you're going to go to Cyprus. You're going to be Napa. And I'm like, Fortune, what's Napa?
Yeah.
I knew about Napa. I didn't know about Napa.
Okay.
So I ended up going there, and, bro, the lifestyle just humbled me. And it's exactly probably what I needed. Because at the time, I think I probably got caught up in the whirlwind of the whole situation with Charlton, the whole materialism and of the UK and having to live up to some sort of lifestyle of such. And it humbled me. I remember going there and I wanted to take my car over there. And I was like, no, that doesn't work like that. So I'm saying, you're going to stay on the same level as everybody else. So they gave me a house and a car, but the car was my first car was a Nissan Micra, bro.
Okay.
Right, so it was humble thing.
What are you saying? Everyone was driving a Nissan Micra?
Bro, like, everyone had run down whips, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we're coming to work.
I like it. It's kind of like it. School uniform. I like
that. You're coming to work. No one cares what car you're in. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Ultimately, you're coming to work, play football, and get us out of the leagues. And so it was a good experience because, like I said, it humbled me.
Mm.
I mean, I wanted to bring my Q7 over. But they weren't having none of it. So I had to go quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, but it was good. It was a good experience. And for me, it was a case of restarting, obviously, coming back from my injury and everything, and actually just a brand new start, something fresh.
Yeah.
And it's another challenge because actually what people don't realize actually went there and played in the second division start off with. So it didn't start well. Okay. I didn't score in the first like 5 games.
Okay.
And I had a manager that was like, I'm the marquee signing and such, and it's like, what's going on here? It's not working. And then I think the 6th game, I think even on the 5th game, I was so desperate to score. It was 1-1. And one of our teammates has gone, I don't know if he went on the keeper, he shot. And I was clearly offside. And I tapped it in.
Uh-huh.
He went mad. And obviously Lionel said offside. So we ended up drawing the game. And it's like, and I remember, I think his name, what's his name? Milan Sam.
This is the manager.
Belich. His name was Belich.
Okay.
My strike partner.
Oh, strike partner. Okay.
He flipped out on me. Ooh. Are you crazy? What are you doing? You crazy man. Are you crazy? What is this? Is this player from where? England? What? Rubbish. What is... I'm like, I was so desperate to score. Yeah, I had no reason to touch the ball.
Yeah.
Touched it 1-1. So at that point, it's breaking point because I'm thinking, where? This brother, like, what's he about?
Yeah.
And then the next game after that, I scored 2. Bro. The way that I felt so relieved.
Yeah.
Huge like, weight off your shoulders.
You know, I can relax
I'm
now.
I'm here now. Let's do this now.
Okay, yeah.
And then I just went again. Like everywhere I go. And most strikers, once you pop, you're buzzing.
You're going.
What is that you think? What is that mentally? Why do you think that is?
I mean, for me, in that scenario, I had to accustom to the lifestyle, the new surroundings and everything, and getting used to the climate and everything in Cyprus. So, and obviously the whole humbling effects and everything. So it was a lot to take on. But for strikers themselves, I just feel like that's what we're born to do, score goals.
Mm.
We want to score goals. And if we're not scoring goals,
what are we doing?
Yeah.
So for me, it was a case of I'm a natural goal scorer. I just want to score goals. And going on a 5 game, no goals, I'm like, whoa, something not right.
Yeah.
So the minute that it popped, I knew this was going to happen. I I knew I was going to take off. And literally from there, I don't even remember how many I got that season. I think 24 or something like that, or something mad like, but got promoted. And then the next season after that, I just kept on going. And then these lot came knocking.
When you say these lot?
So Ayel Limassol, they were sitting top of the first division at the time. And they were a team that wasn't recognized to win the league every year. Apoel Nicosia win the league more time over.
Okay. So they're like Bayern Munich, basically.
Apoel?
Yeah, Apoel.
Bayern Munich over there. So I'm saying so. And Ayel just always in and around it, but nah.
No one expects him to win it.
Nah. And this year, it was like they're flying. I remember playing them in earlier in the season. I was at Salamina, and obviously I was like, "Raw, these men are just machines. Just all majority African descent players and machines." When I say I'm bouncing off, man, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, this is a different thing. So when they came in for me, they ended up buying me, I think they bought me, I can't remember, 80 bags or 100 bags or something like that. But I was like, okay. And I remember sitting down with the chairman, and the chairman, and again, he was this confident that we weren't going to win the league. Sat me down and said, so, if we come in the top four, I give you a certain amount of bonus. 10 bags. If we win the league, 50 bags.
What? We're winning the league, bro.
In my mind, we're winning the league. Not because of the money. Because of the history behind it as well, because they hadn't won the league for like 44 years.
Okay.
Imagine it was the same year City did the Aguero.
Yeah.
And they hadn't won the league for the same amount of time.
Okay.
So it just all corresponded. When I look back on it, I think to myself, wow, that's nuts. Like, yeah. I was thinking, wow, that Aguero thing.
What are the chances, yeah?
It was crazy. But literally, when we won the league, it was the greatest feeling outside of me playing for Ghana ever experienced in my career. Nothing comes close to winning a top Premier Division, and that's what we ended up being.
What was their fan base like in terms of like numbers, like stadium?
Like if you look at the stadium, we had a running track around the stadium.
Okay,
and they shared the stadium with Apollon Limassol as well. So okay. Ayel was one side, Apollon was outside. Derby games were madness. I remember derby games that flares are getting thrown.
Yeah,
they're fanatics.
Yeah,
and they call them ultras, and they absolutely love football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I love that.
The passion for football they have is incredible.
Yeah,
and the fans at Ayel, second to none, bro. Like the fans, the manager, the team, bro. Anyone that asked me what was the best time in football that you had, yeah,
it was Ayel.
There's no,
and is that because there's something to play for? It's a different thing when you're running. You're playing to win something.
But we're working for each other.
Okay.
We're brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, we're on the pitch, we were brothers. So we were all like connected. We all
want
had
each
a goal.
Other to do well.
And we knew that the stigma was that, okay, these boys are all black boys in our team. Yes, they come to our country and they feel they can just take over kind of thing. And it was like, nah, we're going to let Apoel win the league again. Bro, we're lions. We're all lions and we're all wanting one thing. We want to achieve something collectively as a family.
Yeah.
That's what we felt like. We're all family. I still chat to these men to this day. Chat to bear them men to this day. And it's funny because a lot of people would say you have moments in football where you will connect with someone and you'll remember that moment and that therefore you'll have friends for life or you'll have that moment.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
share
yeah.
that. You might not see them for time and you see them say, hey,
yeah,
won that league
yeah, yeah.
They won that league 2023, 2012, we got champions.
Yeah.
So I've had moments like that and it's things that you just never ever forget at all. And it was a beautiful moment to share with them. And literally, I mean, I say beautiful moment to share with them. I had a drug test that same game that we won the league. So, bro, them man are in the changing room enjoying, hey, champion. Bro, like, I'm downstairs with a drug man, so I'm saying, getting tested, thinking, I'm trying to be in the dance, I'm saying. But literally, I remember just thinking, wow, I hope you get me out of here, man. I want to go. And when I look back on all the photos, I'm in hardly editing.
Wow.
But then when I look back on the IL Fiesta, when we had the party to celebrate, and all the fans were there. That's on YouTube somewhere. So literally, we had a stage. And the previous night before, I did something on the mic where I was like calling out all the players' names while music was playing. Because all these men were Portuguese descent as well, French and Portuguese descent. So we're always dancing, we're skanking, and we're doing that thing on the, in the change room. So I'm saying, so we had this thing called Vamula. And literally, it was like, Vamula, Vamula. And I'm calling out all the players' names. And literally, everyone's coming on stage. And when I call their name, they're dancing. So what ended up happening is we had the fiesta in front of all the fans. I'm talking thousands of fans. You'll see it on YouTube. And they put me up on a chair. I've got my Ghana flag on me. And then I literally sang something first, freestyled. Like, no one even realized I freestyled it.
What?
I think I just said, like, ladies and gentlemen, but I sang it.
In Cypriot or what?
No, in English.
Oh, in English.
Okay. So I said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome your champions, the Yellow Lions. And then I started doing Champione, Champione.
That's cool. I could hear
Iroza, one of my teammates, saying, hey, put on the music. And it just dropped at the right time. Champione. And it was like, and I'm calling out every player. I'm calling the management. I'm calling out the staff, physio, everyone. And we're all like in a circle and just everyone's in the middle and they're doing their thing. Imagine, I called out every single man's name, yeah? And I thought, I even called the president. The president was there doing his own.
Everyone's doing their dance, yeah?
And then literally, I called out every man, apart from the man that scored the winning goal.
Oh, wow.
And I totally forgot. And he's probably the closest I'm probably closest with him of everyone now to this day.
Okay.
I was like, Bebe. So Bebe, I'm calling you out now. If you're watching this, champion. Bebe. But it was amazing moment. And I remember when we won the league, they lit up the beach. Or they lit up the city, but the beach, they put like a line of fire on the beach for 44 days.
Okay.
Bro, man couldn't even go outside.
Do you know the worst thing? Yeah, unfortunately, we have to bring this to a close because yeah, it's like that. So I'm gonna put Dicko on the spot here because we have to do something we haven't done before. But this is gonna be a part one. We need a part two. So that's obviously asking you to come down, and I'm doing it in front of everyone just so you can't say no. Really, I'm putting you on a bad spot.
I'll be honest with you. I want to come back. I've enjoyed my time. And on top of that, I'm going to talk about the next phase of IEL. They don't give out them badges for no reason. You know what I'm saying? We got to talk about that.
We haven't even scratched the surface, and I'm enjoying hearing the journey as well. So yeah, definitely, this is going to be part one. Looking forward to part two. It's been a pleasure having you on for part one.
Hey, listen, man. One league, bro.
It's been amazing. Yeah, one league.
One league, bro.
Love.